This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Survivor 48 is here, and alongside it, we're bringing you a brand new season of On Fire, the only official Survivor podcast. If you're a Survivor superfan, you won't want to miss this deep dive into every episode where we break down how we designed the game, the biggest moves, your burning questions. It's the only podcast that gives you inside access to Survivor that nobody else can. Listen to On Fire, the official Survivor podcast with me, Jeff Probst, every Wednesday after the show, wherever you get your podcasts.
The Rich Zeoli Show podcast is sponsored by Mike Venaria Jr. with Osperity Private Wealth.
Hi, I'm Mike Venaria Jr., wealth management specialist. Make your retirement dreams a reality by creating your retirement plan today. Call me at 856-252-0107.
Our first live show of the year is set for June 20th, and make your plans to take the kids on their spring break splash package. All the packages include breakfast. Just go to grandhotelcapemay.com. Joining us now, he is the author of Hate Crime Hoax, the one and only Dr. Wilfred Riley on video. What's up, my man?
Much, not much. Glad to be here. Look at this. Look at all this new technology.
But
here I am.
Love it. We'll clip this up. We'll let it go viral. We got a million views the other day on the former Howard Stern intern, Steve Grillo, who came on the show. We got 1.3 million views of that.
That's good.
It's good. He was just trashing Stern, how woke he's become and how much he's changed. And I think that there's a lot to that in terms of our culture of people that, I don't know, maybe thought it was smart to go down the woke road. I don't know. I mean, certainly Disney probably thought it was a couple of years ago. They're obviously regretting that now, I think, because this has been an epic failure for them, this Snow White remake, huh?
Yeah, I mean, there's a lot there. So, I mean, I think I and, you know, my network can get you guys another couple hundred thousand views. And it's good to see on the radio side that people are tuning in the millions. Like every so often you'll see a big station post something on the non-talk side on the internet, like 238 views or something like that. I didn't think that was going to happen here. But in terms of Howard Stern, yeah, like that is probably one of the biggest glow downs in history. Like I remember listening to Howard Stern argue with Chicago's Mancal Muller back in the late 90s. And I mean, it was not a politically correct era in radio and in television. And I tune into Howard Stern very occasionally now, and he's saying things like, I'm hiding in my house out of fear of COVID. And it's just sort of like, is he a clone? It's very, very bizarre. And you see that sometimes with these older guys like Bill Burr, especially these older East Coast guys that are just surrounded by that, where it's almost like an aerially transmitted disease of wokeness, where Burr is now criticizing Doge saving government money and so on. It's weird. Yeah. His wife always was liberal, but's gone totally woke and's pushing him that way. But in terms of Disney went all in on that. I mean, yeah, I think the thing that struck me the most is that it's a Snow White movie without a prince. So all the other crap, I mean, the Snow White is Hispanic. Like, yeah, that's funny. But I mean, there are lots of white Hispanics. Okay. They didn't have the dwarves. So it's like Snow Latinx and the seven normal sized people. They put like two dwarves back in the final version. Very amusing. But the whole thing is that the storyline was destroyed to make this sort of girl boss redo that nobody wanted to watch. And I think that's the real reason for a lot of the negative real review. Now, a lot of the negative reviews are like frat guys logging in and just giving one star. Like I actually pulled up the review chart. It's like 90% one star, no comments. So I think it's a lot of people just doing that. But yeah, the movie has some real issues.
Yeah. I mean, first of all, it doesn't help that the actress like literally had to be talked down to by the producer and said, like, stay in your lane here. And I love what his son said, the producer's son, who went on about how she's narcissistic and making it all about her, which I know is you know, it's redundant. But and then how many people relied on this movie for their jobs and their careers and the blue collar workers who were on this? It's not just all about you. And going out there and saying the stuff that she said, helping to drive this divide against this movie, and then, you know, attacking her co-star Gal Gadot, and Gal Gadot speaking out, you know, pro-Israel, and then she had to get security around her. I mean, it was just an absolute mess. But it really, they made this at a different time. I mean, they started to make this movie a few years ago, never thinking maybe Donald Trump would win and this woke political correctness crap would go away once and for all. But maybe they didn't care because they just assumed that this is the way America always was. And clearly not.
Yeah, I mean, I do think something that surprised a lot of people, and I've heard people frankly say this in business. Like, I've told you that I and some friends do some basically anti-DEI consulting. I mean, you have big bosses in that space like Robbie Starbuck. And what a lot of CEOs will tell you privately over a drink is like, look, you know, I may be a Bill Clinton Democrat, but I'm not invested in this crap. I don't care about it. We thought this was going to be the wave in business for about 10 years, like Total Quality was. And so you'd have a DEI director or whatever. And that's just the way things are going. Nobody expected it to snap back so quickly. So the question is, now what do you do? Like, you've torn down the statue of Robert E. Lee in the downtown. You replaced that with George Floyd. And you're releasing a Snow White movie that has no men in it with a, you know, Latinx lead who's giving speeches about how Trump's a sociopath and bisexual feminist are the wave of the future. Like, what do you do with that now that the bottom's fallen out of this? And I mean, really, I think Disney did the best they could. I mean, you release the movie, you make $50 million your first weekend, and then you try and push that off into the Chinese market. I mean, they're communists over there. They'll spend $300 million, and you make back what you spent, and that's it. And I think Ziegler, by the way, is a great voice actress. I mean, she's from the Broadway stage. That's probably where she's going back to. Like, I don't see a lot of these people from the woke era, whether it's Robin DiAngelo. Like, I don't see her getting a tenure-track job somewhere at this point. I don't see Ziegler going to be in the next big Sleeping Beauty. I mean, I think it's that was an era that did its thing, that ended, and now we're trying to figure out what to do about it. What do you do in terms of something less sense, but that we've talked about that's quite serious? What do you do with all the kids, for example, that took opposite sex hormones for 8 years, now that that's basically illegal in all of the red states, and now that people realize that this is something verging on a mental illness? You know, that's the actual legacy of this, along with, you know, a lot of dead bodies in the cities.
Yeah, look, I mean, it's exactly spot on your analysis. Dr. Wilfred Riley's with us, author of Hate Crime Hoax. By the way, did you hear about the hate crime that happened in the fake hate crime that happened in Allentown, PA with that?
That was
the noose on the desk.
Yeah, one of the things about these nooses, I mean, like, a noose is a rope that you use to hang a man. And by the way, hanging, as we both know, is not something that was invented during white-black conflict in the USA 100 years ago. Hanging was traditionally how you punished criminals that were too poor for, like, the headsman's axe. So right. Largest lynching in U.S. history was of Italian-Americans, I believe.
Yes, it's true.
You know, yeah, New Orleans. But, you know, a posse, anytime you watch an old Western movie and they say something like, let's get together a posse, what that means is let's get a rope and a lynch mob. Like, we've got a rapist or something in the county. There's only one judge within 300 miles, and he's riding pretty slowly around the cities. So we're just going to have to go get this guy, string him up from a tree. A noose is how you did that, a slipknot tied noose. So a noose is a big rope. It's about this big, thinking back to Boy Scouts or whatever. The motion looked a little weird. But these nooses that people are tying and, like, putting in their offices, they're tiny little things. They're tied with fishing line or something. So they showed a picture of this noose, and it's like a shoelace that was hung over her computer. And these big FBI guys, it was a blonde guy and a black guy, they're both just sitting there totally bemused. They had to go DNA test this thing and make sure the Klan didn't put it there. So they took it to Quantico or whatever, they ran it. The only DNA on the noose was the DNA of the black executive who clearly put the shoelace there. So these two guys are just like, yep, it wasn't entirely surprising. I mean, you could see it. All these cases are fakes. You know, just it is what it is.
I want to play an audio clip for you. This is now Let's see. This is representative. I'm going to do the NPR CEO, Catherine Mayer, back when she ran Wikipedia, talking about the need to rewrite history because it favors white people. So since you're a guy who loves history, this is back during COVID. Trevor Noah was the not funny host of The Daily Show, and he was doing this in his hoodie from his kitchen. And Catherine Mayer was on there, the now CEO of NPR. This is what she said back then. Cut 20.
The fact of the matter is that most written knowledge today has been written by white, colonial, European, North American men. And so one of the things that we're really focused on is how do we think about correcting the record? How do we think about writing people into history? How do we think about writing people into the present who haven't been represented in the same way? Knowledge, when we talk about knowledge for the whole world, it needs to be reflective of the whole world. And so one of the first things we do is we measure the gaps. Who is missing on Wikipedia? Women are missing. People of color are missing. People from the global south are missing. Indigenous communities are missing. The history of Black Americans is missing from Wikipedia. Then we think about who's doing this work today and how can we support them? And it's not just about, say, for throwing money at the problem. It's also about going directly to these communities and saying, what do we need to change about ourselves? You know, what about the experience of editing Wikipedia? What about the culture of Wikipedia? What about the policies of Wikipedia need to change? Because in reality, the beautiful thing about Wikipedia is it is changeable all the time. It's edited.
All right, that's enough. Thank you, guys. So as the author of the book, Lies My Liberal Teacher Told Me, Dr. Wilfred Riley, what the hell is she talking about?
Well, it's mostly just drivel, but there are a few things there. So one thing that I want to point out first, that's supposed to be a comedy show.
Right.
So when we talk about why conservative media, including me and you, is growing at such a high rate, it's because that's what you see on the mainstream airwaves. Like, I tuned into Trevor Noah a few times, and he was actually hilarious as a stand-up man, but you got that.
Yeah.
You got one skit from him or someone else, and then you got three people just droning on like you were at an academic conference. I mean, that's the president of Wikipedia talking about editing computer code. So if you come home after a date or something, or it's just a slow night, you're cooking some food, you don't want to listen to that. So that's why, like, as a tip for the opponents, that's what's wrong with you. But okay, in terms of what she actually said, it's an interesting point, but I don't think it's a resolvable point. She's saying over the period that we document on Wikipedia, which is mostly the past 500 years, modern history, I mean, there aren't a lot of written sources describing, you know, Genghis's General Subutai. We focus a lot on white men, but that's because white people were the dominant group during that period of history, just like East Asians were during the 500 years before that, the Mongols and the Chinese and so on. And so the writers, Shakespeare and Mark Twain and Tolstoy and so on, came from the dominant group. And so they were mostly white. And women at that time ran the great households. They had four or five kids, and they were mostly white men, the people who had the time to write. So I don't. There's something she said there that kind of snuck by, like, we're going to write people into history. And I think what that means in practice is kind of make them up. Like, we're going to find some obscure black guy, like an example who really is a top 100 historical figure, but he's not a top 10 historical figure, would be George Washington Carver, the peanut guy. Like, every history textbook that I've ever had in school mentioned him. And it's just like, he's an impressive brother, but he should be in maybe chemistry or biology. There's really no need in American civics. So you're taking these guys and you're moving them up a few notches. Sappho, the Greek lesbian poet, becomes a philosopher. And that really is a very irritating thing about not just Wikipedia, but a lot of modern media. I know Gannett, which ran USA Today, talking to some of their young reporters a few years ago, had a policy that one in five stories had to feature a person of color. And America is, counting Hispanics, 70 to 80% white, and whites are disproportionately represented in leadership roles. So what you're doing is just taking non-stories and making them stories. I think that's a good way to put that. So, but anyway, a not funny one, and two, you know, there's some ethical problems with it. I personally don't have a problem with the idea that a European descent country that was founded during the time when whites were conquering would have a lot of historical figures who were white. I mean, now we have a lot of well-off minorities, including me, so I have a Wikipedia page, and then the next generation, you'll have more significant Black and Asian people. Oh, now we're getting attacked for being too male, too. So I don't know what to do about it other than honor the people that actually did stuff. You can't just make up people and say they did things.
Let me play for you this clip. If nothing else, it's a great visual. I don't know if it's fair to do this or not. I don't know. I mean, this is bikini-clad spring breakers who bombed the U.S. citizenship question. I'm sure you've seen this. It's gone viral for a reason. I don't know if it's fair to do this, and I don't know if this is a representation of college kids today in America or not, but nevertheless, since it's a Friday, even though it's Lent and I'm probably going to hell for this, nevertheless, here's Cut 26.
Who did the colonists fight in the Revolutionary War?
In the Revolutionary War?
It was, I don't know if this is right. I mean, it sounds so stupid. Was it the Spanish? Wait, what are your majors?
Business. Biology.
Okay. Elementary education.
Oh.
What shape is the U.S. Pentagon building?
Isn't it just a square?
How many U.S. senators are there?
Six, seven.
How many amendments are in the Bill of Rights?
There's a lot. I know 17.
Who won the Civil War?
It's East or West, right?
Well, it's the Civil War, so it's the civilians versus whoever was in power.
How many justices are on the Supreme Court?
Justices? Mm-hmm. So, like, when you say that, like, you mean, like, the FBI?
Who is on the $100 bill?
Abraham Lincoln?
Nope.
Abraham Lincoln.
Come on, bro.
That's the First Amendment. What's the second?
Right to vote.
Name three states that border Canada. We'll just do one per person.
Asia.
You know, I didn't know Canada had a border.
Dr. Riley, are we screwed? Are we in trouble?
We may be. I mean, now, first of all those kids are drunk out of their minds or they're on ecstasy thinking back to just spring break and what that is. I mean, I'm surprised they were all fully clothed. So, you know, I don't know how representative that is. Like, of course, if you go to a rave and you ask some guy who's kissing his girlfriend outside and waving glow sticks in the air, you know. Yeah, how many senators are there? You're going to get some stupid answers. Also, another thing with those videos is that you can edit them to get the cuts you want. I mean, you can ask 1,000 people, get 20 stupid answers. But that said, I mean, there should be nobody who thinks that Asia is a state that borders Canada. Like, that should be like, that should be like monkeys typing for 1,000 years, won't write Hamlet type of stuff. So the fact that she got that on video, that is pretty problematic. But I will say, some of those kids are going to get roasted when they get back home to the dorm or to the Greek house. Like, the upper middle class black guy who didn't know he was on the $100 bill isn't going to live that down for a while. Yeah. Haven't seen a lot of those, have you? You know, I mean, it's just Lincoln. You know, Lincoln's on the five. So it's
what shape is the Pentagon?
Yeah, isn't it just a square? Yeah, that one is. That was very bad. I do think that, yeah, there are some obvious problems with ignorance in American society. To me, a big part of it, and I've actually got some criticism from even friends and colleagues for saying this as a college professor, but a lot of this just gets into how many people go to college. So as a lot of the audience probably knows, 70% of white and African-American males get at least some college. So like when you saw all those white guys, all those black guys, like 70% of men in those two groups go to college. So are 70% of all males, like look at a typical football team, should 75% of them be going to the state university? When you answer that question, yes, you are going to get more of that kind of thing. So I'd prefer to see what they have in Europe, which is where the top 10% of people go to college, and there are programs to make that basically free. Then your next 50% go into the skilled trades, chefs and all that. And that's nearly as demanding as college or culinary schools, schools that teach you how to actually make pizza. There are things that teach you how to drive and repair a bus. That's a real job. And then below that, you're sort of working. You go to prime, you go get a job. And that seems like a much more workable model. And also, last thing, but that would get rid of a lot of this revolutionary anger, I think. Like, the ultimate Occupy fighter, when I was involved with that movement years ago, was like a fairly tough feminist woman from a working or middle class background that had gotten a degree in something like sociology and had finished in the bottom half of her class. Like, she wasn't stupid, but she'd hustled hard. She worked while she was in college. She couldn't really do much with this useless BA, $70,000 in debt. She's working at Starbucks. And that's when communism starts looking good. And, like, had that person just come out and gone to work in a hair salon or something, like, there would be a lot less anger in their mind, in all honesty. So kind of harsh to put it that way, but that's I think that's a reality we need to recognize.
Dr. Wilfred Riley, let me ask you this. The University of Maryland, where I went to school, which breaks my heart in every freaking NCAA tournament, it seems, their commencement speaker this year is a Muppet. Now, Jim Henson went to the University of Maryland, met his wife there. Rumor is that she was the basis for Miss Piggy. And when I met her many, many decades ago, you could see why. But nevertheless, he is now, Kermit the Frog is now the commencement speaker. Now, look, symbolically, I get it. It's fun. It's cute. Except since he's not a real person, he's a Muppet. What he's going to be saying is going to be written by somebody. He's owned by Disney, not the Hensons anymore. So what I'm, what I'm getting at is here, not only is it silly and dumb, and it may be part of the further coddling of the American youth, where it's like you're still not adults because you're getting words of wisdom from a freaking puppet. But what comes out of his mouth is written by I don't know who, the writers at Disney, the woke corporation that is known as Disney. I don't know. Help me understand this.
I think so. One thing that's kind of important there, actually, is that the students at a major university like Maryland, I mean, Maryland's a Big Ten school. I mean, in terms of rankings for a lot of their schools, they're not that far below the Ivies. I mean, so at that type of institution, the speaker's picked by the students. You know, the SGA votes on it. So it's the kids that picked Kermit the Frog. It's not like the school just suddenly decided of everyone that's available, generals and so on, and me. I mean, I'm willing to do those speeches. You know, we're going to go with a talking green amphibian. So I think that does say something about the level of maturity among the kids. Yeah. What will the frog say? The frog will just say semi-woke tripe. Mm-hmm. You know, the frog will say things like, you know, keep your eyes forward or sit on your ass. Excuse me. It's his or tails, you know, like it's a graduation speech. So it's going to be stuff like that. I don't think it's going to be very dangerous, but there really is an issue. There's an issue with extended adolescence in America that I think gets into the 70% of people go to college. So they're not going to the army. They're not getting married. And this ties into a lot of the things we talk about, like why are birth rates falling? The reason birth rates are falling is that the average woman gets married at 32. Mm-hmm. I mean, men aren't exactly stepping up and proposing. The average man gets married at 33, but it's less of a physical issue for us, bluntly. But all this stuff goes together. I mean, you graduate at 22, 23, and your graduation speech is delivered by a puppet. I mean, you probably go to grad school, so you're 26, then you get out. And that's when kind of life starts. And then very often you're in one of these junior executive jobs that you see mocked on Facebook and Twitter, where you have the person walking into the office and, you know, getting the glass of kombucha and walking past the meditation room and all this. And that's when people start seriously dating. Like at this point, I think I might begin looking for someone.
Right.
And, you know, like peak human fertility and mind function is like 24, 25. Like we hate to put it that way, but it sort of is. Humans used to live to be 40. So it's a whole weird thing that's going on where colleges will have rooms on campus where people can go color and take naps and so on. I don't really know what to do about it other than just brutally push people out into the world and have them start doing real jobs. Like I said, driving buses and that kind of thing. That I think is the solution.
Dr. Wilfred Riley, since you are a professor of political science, let's turn our attention to the Democrats for a moment. Tim Walz says we should have doubled down on woke and DEI. Van Jones has criticized the Democrats for all their cursing. You know, there's a montage of all the Democrats getting up there and dropping the F-bomb and yelling at Trump and everything like this. Here's a little clip of Van Jones from CNN talking about Congresswoman Jasmine Crockett, cut 25.
Well, I don't know her yet. And so here's how I see it. She's new. Mm-hmm. She's young. And she's trying to find her way. I think that this party is scrambling, trying to seem tough. And I'm seeing this party traffic in a lot of curse words. That's supposed to like the new cool thing to do. I don't think that that's going to be as useful. I even heard Pete Buttigieg with a whole bunch of curse words. Yeah. I don't know who gave that memo. I don't think that's very useful. I think you have to be very careful when you're talking about people with disabilities. And I don't think she was careful. And I don't know her enough to say she's not being honest. But I'm going to tell you, it sounded bad. And I just want to finish. I think this party is trying to find a way to look tough and to show fight. But this is not the way. I don't think the cursing is going to work. I think I've been on stage and I've gotten, you know, a little bit hype sometimes too. I hope that she will take this as lessons. You talked about learning lessons, that type of stuff. It doesn't sound to me like she's actually taking full responsibility. If that's true, I don't like it. And she can't do that again. She's too important to us to do that again.
Dr. Riley, your thoughts?
Well, first of all, Van Jones is a guy I don't dislike. I mean, he's kind of an operative for the other side, but those guys just go home to normal houses and their wives too. Yeah. I mean, and he'll make some good points from time to time. I mean, yeah. So like one point that I think a lot of people, even in our age range, would agree with is that young millennial culture is kind of vulgarity culture. So there are all these books like with titles like Get the Bleep Up and Start Succeeding in Your Bleeping Life After You Bleep Your Husband. And I think that like the traditional title for that from like Dr. Ruth or something would be called How to Have a Good Marriage. So, I mean, like I'll look at it sometimes and be like, you know, I get it. OK, but there's really no need to do that in front of a mixed sex, mixed age audience as a politician. You know, like you got kids here. So I agree with that. The comment about Greg Abbott, a governor Hot Wheels, because obviously he's crippled. He's disabled. He's in a wheelchair.
Yeah.
And the wheelchair's got the covers on the wheels and so on. You could say that's funny in a bar. Obviously, if a Republican said that about a Democrat, there would be weeks of hysteria, the cold-blooded, ruthless Trump administration.
Able-bodied, right? You'd hear that.
Yeah. The ablest, fattest. And in fact, it's interesting to draw the distinction between this and another fake scandal that we're seeing on the Twitters and Facebooks right now, which is that the White House posted, in my opinion, just a funny meme showing a crying woman getting deported. And the crying woman being depicted is a famous fentanyl dealer from the Dominican Republic, I believe, that snuck into the country and sold fent to kids. And all these people are saying, like, how could you show a woman in tears? And I'm looking at this and saying, this person's an illegal immigrant drug dealer. Who could possibly care? Like, it's a little tacky, but this is not a story. And you contrast that with someone actually calling a guy who's in a wheelchair after a terrible industrial accident. I think a tree fell on him. You know, Governor Hot Wheels. That's a pretty sharp dichotomy. So I guess I agree with Van Jones. Like, yeah, there's not really a need to do that very much. And there's a double standard around it. And again, I think it just gets into immaturity. Like in classes at a lot of major universities, you're actually asked not to tell students not to curse, because it's part of their expression as black kids or poor white Appalachians or whatever. I mean, so if you take that into adult life, it sounds a little different in the courtroom.
Well, here, guys, I sent you that clip of Jasmine Crockett, which I said would be a good sound drop. This is her again. It's a fake accent. She doesn't come from the streets. I mean, this is ridiculous here. But listen to this, Dr.
Hang
Riley.
On 1 second, because that one's on my PC. I have to transfer it to Justin's.
Oh, OK. All right. Well, we'll come back to that. This is let me play this one for you. This is cut 18. It's on your point about the deportation of the gang member. Cut 19. NBC correspondent who claims gang members may have only planned to be gang members temporarily, like a temp job, Dr. Riley, like a temp job. Cut 19.
Something I know even from reporting on TDA since it started becoming a problem last summer is it can be really hard to connect people and figure out exactly who's part of this gang. A lot of people could be victims of this gang. They could owe them money because they brought them across the border. They're very large in smuggling networks. And other people could have temporarily worked for them in order to get some money, but not be a big part of the hierarchy. So it can be hard to discern. Some of the tattoos might connect them. Some of the tattoos might not.
I think the broader problem here is that the Democrats and the media both seem to be defending Trende Aragua, MS-13, like really bad people here. It's just not a good look politically for them.
Yeah, I mean, I personally wrote an article where I described this as prey morality, and I contrasted it with traditional muscular Christianity, Bushido, the martial arts way, the Viking path, the nine noble virtues, and so on. But suicidal empathy, Gad Sad's term, is another phrase for this, where you believe that your people are bad and diseased in some way, so you try to be as sympathetic as possible toward others who come into conflict with them while applying this really brutal, harsh lens to your own family, friends, government, military, and so on. And that's what we see on the left. It's a phenomenon that's recognized in psychological science. It's generally considered close to mental illness. So, I mean, that's basically what I'm hearing here. I mean, so this woman is saying, well, some of these people aren't Trinde Aragua fighters, basically. They're just people who joined the gang to get a boost in terms of coming to the USA, or they were just madams, basically. They were female human traffickers for the gang. Like, I mean, if you're moving young girls into the country for a street gang, I really don't care how high your rank is in the gang. Like, we're pretty comfortable sending you home. So the idea basically at some level is that you're defending criminal illegal aliens, i.e., they're here illegally. It's not just a visa overstay. They've committed at least one A misdemeanor or minor felony. Mm-hmm. And the question is just, are they on top of that? High-ranking gang members. The thing with Spanish gangs, or Latin American gangs, I guess would be more formal, also, is that they're not really subtle with it. Like, guys will have 13s tattooed on their face. So when people say, like, these tattoos symbolize the gang, like, the tattoos I've seen are, like, Trinde Aragua. It's yeah. not, like, the nation of Venezuela or something. So there are maybe three or four cases that I've looked at in the entire caseload of 208 that are even questionable. You know, El Salvador, that prison is pretty tough, but, you know, lawyers have phones. Mm-hmm. If one out of those 200 people is innocent, hopefully they'll find a way back to their home country, if not here. But I actually don't think you should let 208 guilty human traffickers go to free one guy who's only an illegal alien. That doesn't make any sense.
Well said. That term of, you know, rather 1,000 guilty go free than one, you know, person who's innocent go to prison applies to United States citizens. So this is Jasmine Crockett here putting on the fake street accent here. Take a listen.
Somebody slap me and wake me the fuck up because I'm ready to get on with it.
There you go, Dr. Riley. I mean, that's what we need, right? That kind of motivation for us to get going for our weekend. What do you think?
I mean, I think Jasmine Crockett went to the most expensive prep school in St. Louis. One of my friends, it's the head of Moms for Liberty, who's not exactly poor herself, was in a friendly, like, girl-off match where they're talking about their prep schools and so on with Dana Loesch from the National Rifle Association. And she mentioned, like, I'm from St. Louis, and I think this was on Twitter, and I went to a fairly prestigious school. Jasmine Crockett went to the wealthiest prep school in St. Louis, and I don't really even think she was a DEI admit. She just got in. And there are dozens of videos of her as like a student government official or like a prom, you know, countess or whatever's below queen, just talking totally normally. Like, it's great to attend a school like this one where elite African-American and white girls can learn together and practice our, as we head into the elite of society. Yowza, like a just Tierra. And now you see this. It's the ultimate example of this, for anyone that hasn't seen it yet, Google Bowdoin College Democrats Tennessee representative. There's a guy who's currently in the Tennessee legislature.
Yes!
Who used to be the used to be the president of Bowdoin University. And there's a famous cut somebody made of his campaign video, which is just him as the ultimate Merrill Lynch young executive, just African-American version. And they swing to him as like this crazy black preacher at the end with glasses and a disheveled afro. Like, it's going to be a long day. Like, a lot of all these people are fake. AOC's from Scarsdale. So, like, virtually no one who's a congressperson or a senator has grown up in desperate poverty.
My friend, thank you for bringing the thunder today. You're good on camera. We got to make this a thing. I love it.
Fair enough.
Lies My Liberal Teacher Told Me and Hate Crime Hoax. They're both outstanding reads, and you'll love them both. Have a great weekend, my man.
You too. Have a good one.
It's the 5 o'clock happy hour on the Rick Cioli Show. Brought to you by the Oceanfront Grand Hotel of Cape May, New Jersey. A premier full-service resort and conference center. GrandHotelCapeMay.com.
Big story of the hour brought to you by our buddy Dr. Mike Veneria, VeneriaDental.com. Go see him today for your perfect smile. Two locations to serve you in Cinnaminson and Woodbury. Is that the president just spoke on Air Force One a few minutes ago? We got that for you. J.D. Vance, the vice president in Greenland, and Doge doing great things. But I want to thank my friends at Emmons Roofing and Siding for all their incredible work that they've done for my home. We're talking about roofing, siding, windows, doors, and more. And each and every one of my listeners, 10% off inflation relief discount. That's right, 10% off. So you're going to have a dedicated, trusted team at Emmons. They serve our entire region, Pennsylvania, New Jersey, Delaware, and the Jersey Shore. Top-notch designers, too. They also have a bathroom remodeling division at Emmons. They're going to get the job done right for you, and you're going to love it. You really will. You'll love the work. It's guaranteed. Siding, for example, it keeps your home insulated and looking sharp from the curb and able to withstand the elements. A lifetime warranty on that roof. And Anderson Window Replacement, the best in the business. Plus, you know, I've had Emmons replace some doors for me, skylights, more projects to come. I've used them in two different homes over the course of the last 10 years, and every time I've been satisfied beyond expectations with the job, because that's what they pride themselves on, is getting the job done right. So reach out to them today by going to emmonsroofing.com, E-M-M-O-N-S, my friends, emmonsroofing.com.
The Rich Cioli Show on Talk Radio 1210 WPHD.
Some shows we have a lot of guests. Some shows we have no guests. We just, you know, we kind of just go with it. And today's one of those days we had a lot of guests. But we have a lot of great clips I want to make sure we get to before we still have the video component. So let me play this one for you, too. This is really good. I like this clip a lot here. This is Elon Musk talking about this is a revolution. You know, this is a revolution and righteous indignation and all the other things that Doge is doing right now and what they're getting greeted with. But this is key. Cut number 7.
Well, this is a revolution. And I think it might be the biggest revolution in government since the original revolution. But at the end of the day, America is going to be in much better shape. America will be solvent. The critical programs that people depend upon will work. And it's going to be a fantastic future. But are we going to get a lot of complaints along the way? Absolutely. You know, one of the things I learned at PayPal was, you know who complains the loudest and with the most amount of fake righteous indignation? The fraudsters. It's a tell.
There's some of
these NGOs that are crazy, like the $2 billion to Stacey Abrams NGO that basically didn't exist and suddenly gets $2 billion awarded from the federal government. She says, why? And there are many such cases like that.
Yeah, that's exactly right. And to just show you how incompetent government is, John Stewart, let's cube cut 14 here. John Stewart actually completely stunned, screams out loud because he can't believe how bad Biden's Build Back Better funding nonsense plan was. Okay, this is what we're dealing with. This is where the Trump campaign start. The Trump presidency starts. Okay, after that Build Back Better nonsense that we all heard. Cut 14.
So the government has published a map. They have invited the states to challenge the map. Then states have submitted initial proposals, and they then have to publish their own map and allow challenges.
Wait, who's challenging it within the state?
Well, you know, organized interest groups, environmental groups, like I don't know who specifically, but literally anybody. This is,
right.
I want to say something because it's very important I say this. This is the Biden administration's process for its own bill. They wanted this to happen. This is how liberal government works now.
This is something they instituted for this bill.
For their bill. This is a bill passed by Democrats with a regulatory structure written by Democratic administration. Okay.
Right.
Step 11, the NTIA must review and improve the challenge results and the final map. So the NTIA has put forward a map. The states have challenged that map. Then the states have put forward their maps, had other challenges. And now the NTIA must review and approve the challenges to the state maps. Okay. So we've done step 11. NTIA must review and approve challenge results and final map. We've lost 9 of the applicants at that point. Step 12, states must run a competitive sub-granting process.
Oh, my God. At step 12, after all this has been done.
Yeah, none of that could have happened along the way here. We have now lost 17 more applicants.
Purposely set up to just have bureaucratic regulatory nonsense. This is what we're trying to undo here. This is what we're trying to undo. So you understand what we're I mean, this is how bad it is. This is how bad it is. So, you're going to hear a lot of complaints and whining and crying. But this is what needs to occur in this country if we're going to save this country. I like what this Doge guy put it. when he said, you know, it's now or never. This is Tyler Hassan. He was running five businesses in Houston. And he said, like, you know, it's now or never. We got to do this. If I could find the right cut here, I want to make sure. Is this the one here? I don't know if I can. Is it eight? Is that a good one?
Yeah.
All right. Cut number eight.
And do you guys all see this as a patriotic duty? And is that really what this is about?
It's essential.
I do. 100%. I was running five businesses in Houston. And I left that. I left great people to do this. And my wonderful wife said, go for it. And here I am. But I feel like this is me giving back to the country.
If we don't do this, we're sunk. The ship, unless this exercise is successful, the ship of America will sink. That's why we're doing it.
This is what our government has been focused on. Okay. This, and this is why I said this is the Manhattan Project of our time. Trying to right the ship here and get this right. This is what needs to happen. OK, it has to happen. By the way, probably my favorite clip of the day, though, is Tom Holman giving it back to a fake news reporter who's challenging him on the treatment of these detainees, who are these, of course, these migrant criminal gang member thugs we just talked about. And Holman is the man. He's just having the time of his life. He loves his job. He loves going to work every day. This is cut 13.
Are you treating migrants humanely?
Yes.
But there's been reports of them on planes with no water.
That was a bunch of
complaining.
Crap. That was a bunch of crap.
What do you mean a bunch of crap?
ICE detention facilities have the highest detention standards in the industry. Any of the ICE standards, our detention standards are higher than any state or federal or local facility in the nation, in the world. Someone should go to the ICE website, look at PBN DS-11, performance-based detention standards, and look at our detention standards, highest in industry.
But are you sure you're only getting illegal criminal migrants? I mean, there were some pictures over the weekend of people that claim to be students, Brazilian students, who were showing examples of bruises on their arms from American deportation flights.
That's ridiculous, but if they want to make a complaint, we investigate it.
But your assurance is what?
The men and women of ICE are professionals. We do this for a living. And I can tell you, I ran ICE for years. I was the first director of ICE camp through the ranks. Again, these men and women are professional, highest attention standards in the industry. We take care of these people. But we're going to enforce the law, and we're not going to apologize for doing it.
And you're going to do it in a sort of public way with, do you need to use the big military planes? Is that part of a sort of shock and awe tactic?
No.
They haven't been used before, have they, for migrants?
No, we got President Trump. We're going to use all the government to secure our border, which is the biggest national security vulnerability this country's ever seen. And we're going to force laws to this country. It's not okay to enter this country illegally. It's a crime. And when you cause a crisis as big as the Biden administration caused, when you overwhelm the Border Patrol, but they can't do their national security job, that's when the fentanyl come across, killed a quarter million Americans. That's when you have a 600% increase in sex trafficking. That's when you have a record number of non-inspected terrorists coming across an open border. President Trump's going to secure the border, as promised to the American people. We're going to enforce immigration laws. That's what we're going to do, without apology. We're on board. We're going to go forward. You're going to see it get a hell of a lot
bigger. All right, thank you. Does she think that like, they should be flying on Delta or something? I mean, these are Tren de Aragua MS-13 gang members. Are they supposed to be in first class? Would you consider putting them on Southwest? No, okay, that would be cruel. Okay. What about Spirit? No. That's cruel and unusual punishment. All right, so we can't do that, all right? So they're going to be in a military transport plane because they're violent criminals. This is Con Air, but for illegal immigrants. You don't fly in Fluffy. Will they get snacks? Will there be an in-flight movie for the criminal MS-13 gang members? What if they don't like the movie? Will there be choices for them? What about Wi-Fi? Will there be Wi-Fi for the violent criminal MS-13 gangbangers? On the flight? Or will they have to pay extra for it? Oh, the crappy Wi-Fi be for free, and then the $5 plan will be the one. Like, stop. Stop it already, okay? All right, quick break. We're coming right back. I do want to tell you that my buddy, Dr. Mike Veneria Dental, you got to go see him. You know, What separates Dr. Mike from all the other dentists out there is his level of care and expertise. Have you seen a dentist yet? If not, you need to, because it is crucial to your health. You got to make sure you make time for the dentist. And that's what Dr. Mike Veneria is going to do for you and your family. Two offices to serve you in Cinnaminson and Woodbury. They say you should see a dentist at least twice a year. And if you have not seen a dentist and you're thinking about getting complicated dental work, like, for example, if you need an implant, Dr. Mike is the master of implant dentistry, the master of making you look and feel your absolute best. So reach out to him today, 856-786-2020, or go to veneriadental.com. You'll love the staff. You'll love the people. You'll love the music playing in his office. And your gum health, your oral health, has a direct impact on your gut health, which has a direct impact on your overall health. So you have to take care of your teeth. And there's no one better, 10 years in a row, recognized among his peers as the best of the best, Dr. Mike Veneria, veneriadental.com.
The Rich Scioli Show on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT.
Well,
we're ratting you guys out.
No, we're not ignoring the calls. We've just had so many guests via Zoom today that we actually can't pull up the calls on my PC. Like, yeah. My whole screen is Zoom right now.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. We could take one now, but we're not going to have very much time before the top of the hour.
That's all right. I want to read Amy's tweet. Monday we'll do a whole call show Monday. A whole show.
I don't believe
nothing
you.
But calls.
I don't believe you.
Waltzing Matilda tweeted out, when you're driving home, listening to the Scioli Show, and Victoria Coates asks, what's the name of those animals they rode on in The Empire Strikes Back? And you immediately say, Tauntauns, out loud like they can hear you through the radio. Well said. And they're Tauntauns, not Womp Womps or whatever the hell you said,
Justin.
I
said Womp. I went over this in the chat because I checked it just to make sure. Wampa is the furry creature that captures Luke in the in the ice cave on Hoth.
Nerd.
And it's just
nerd,
this.
Nerd.
I know you're not talking Harvard, boy.
You're like, nerd.
Harvard, John
nerd.
Hopkins calling me a nerd. I'm not standing for that. Not one bit on this Friday.
This is where Justin is holding his ground.
This reminds me of Henry when he used to yell at me.
Good. I'm glad he's finally turned on you. Good. Join the resistance, Justin.
Proud
this is the
member.
Matt DeSantis resistance. We need you.
The only resistance I'll ever be a part of, I'll tell you that much.
They're Tauntauns, not Womp Womps, wherever the hell they were.
Wampa.
Wampas. They're Tauntauns, not Willy Wonka, damn it. All right, big fourth and final hour straight ahead. Lots to get to. We're just getting started because we've really had so many guests today. I haven't really even got into any topics yet. So we'll do that straight ahead on a Friday. Don't go away.
The Rich Scioli Show on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT.